Lord, we just lift our hands to heaven. And we give you our life. So we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace. We repent for everything we've done that's offended you, touched and agree with the voice of the stranger. Dead works, works of the flesh, selfish ambitions, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Lord, stepping ahead of you and not walking with you. And being lazy sometimes in those areas. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Please, search us, deliver us and heal us and position us. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence. Fill us with your spirit tonight. Bring deliverance, healing, revelation, and impartation. That we may be more like you. Breathing afresh upon us tonight. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to take us to the throne room of our Daddy. To take your rightful place within our hearts, minds, and will. Establishing your kingdom in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Yes, we welcome you, Lord. For in your presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let the anointing and the power and the glory of your presence and your love break every yoke of bondage. Remove the scales of the eyes, the hardening of the heart, the deafness of the ears, the entanglements and affairs of this world, that we may be free in your spirit. Loose the bonds of torment of the mind. Free the addictions. And the bondages of fear. Set us free from this place, Master, that we may walk with you in truth, spirit, and in power, to bring glory to your name, to yield to your spirit, that your healing, resurrection, power, and the flow of your love will flow through each and every one here tonight. Fill us afresh, Lord, that we may leave this place tonight in the light of your countenance, granting us fresh rhema and revelation from your throne room. Speak to us the things you want us to hear, not what man wants to hear. And let the name above all names be glorified in this place, Jesus. And everybody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a mighty hand, please. It's powerful what God is doing, and there's such a move of God right now in so many areas. And not only do we need to be cleansed from the world, but we need to be sensitive. And we've been talking about being able to obtain the discernment. When God gives us wisdom, right, he gives wisdom, and then out of his mouth speaks knowledge and understanding. And so wisdom plus understanding equals discernment. And in this time, we need to have such great discernment like we've never needed before. And there is a pleading from God right now. You know, we see everything that's going on economically. We see all kinds of things that's going on, you know. I mean, this whole thing could have been resolved easily. They should have just called my office and we would have talked about it. But we would have had called in godly counsel, right? The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. But no, the United States, they had to go according to the ways of the world, right? I mean, and mess everything up. And this whole thing started just because of the arena of mortgages. It started because of greed. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, you know what, let's extend the mortgage time from 30 years to 50. We wouldn't be where we are now. That's all it took. Let's extend a mortgage from 30 years to 40 years. That's all they needed to do. They wouldn't have had to worry about rescuing everything and doing all kinds of stuff. And now the domino effect of collapse of everything is manifesting. That's all they needed to do was see what was going on and extend mortgages longer so people wouldn't lose their homes, people wouldn't lose their jobs. That's all they needed to do. Real simple. I'd have given the counsel free. But no, they chose to do this whole conglomerate thing and with all of these things that are going on. And now things are going to collapse no matter what happens. There isn't anything that they can do now. It's too late. Unless they choose to give back the homes and extend the mortgages to the people. Then jobs would be established and everything would go back to its flow. But other than that, it's done. No matter, they can't bail out. the auto industry, that it ain't going to work. Nothing's going to work now. Now we're in that climb. And we're heading for a collapse. And there's an urgency and there's a pleading. And I want to call it a divine pleading from God right now for his people. Because for me and you, there'll still be windows of opportunity. There'll still be things that are happening for us because we're not of the world. You're not of that system. You're of another government and another system from heaven. So you're not involved in that. So you don't have to worry about it, no matter what's going on around you. But there's a pleading from God right now because people are in need. Right now, remember, if you heard the prophecy that God said that there would be one of the largest harvests for the year. One of the greatest harvests is happening right now. It's going to increase, and there's going to be more people getting saved in this last month, in these last few weeks, than there has been a long time. People have nowhere to go. They're becoming homeless, jobless. People are begging for food. It's increasing more and more. There's been over a half a million jobs lost in this country. Over a half a million. Businesses are folding left and right. Because everything has gone towards a big conglomerate. But see, even if you saved a big conglomerate, who's going to buy their product? Who's going to buy cars, even if they get saved? What, the little people are in the middle class and all the rest are losing jobs and money? It's like, man, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. And I don't get it, but you know what it is? It's deception. It's delusion. It's how the enemy works, because they're of the world. The ruler of the earth is Satan, and he deceives individuals. He's setting everything up right now for him to step in. The spirit of Antichrist is here. We are the generation of the Lord's return. It's an honor to be alive right now. It's an honor. But in this honor, there's accountability. Why are you alive right now at this moment in this country to reach the rest of the world? That's why we're alive. And there's a cry, there's an urgency from God Almighty. It's a divine pleading. And he began to speak to me today and share with me, I am pleading with my children. There's a divine pleading from God Almighty from the throne room right now. That his children get in order. That we get in position. That we don't get so caught up in entanglements and affairs of the world. That we stay clean and purified. That we warfare, fight, and we do intercession. That we be ready in season and out no matter what. That we are willing to witness when it needs to be a witness. You know that song that we were singing, breathe on me, Lord. Breathe on me so that I can be empowered to be a witness. You know, that's one of the things that Jesus said to the disciples. That's why he commanded them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So they could be a witness. The commission that God gave us, and he told his disciples and all those who believe, he said, go out and preach the gospel. And he who believes in me, in my name, signs and wonders are going to follow. You're going to cast out devils. Listen, if a church ain't casting out devils, something ain't right. Something's not right. They'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. They'll speak with other tongues. I'm telling you, it's a time for war, but it's a time of urgency. There's a pleading from God to get in position and be ready. We must fulfill the commission so that the captives can be set free. No, you can no longer be nonchalant in your walk. You can no longer be nonchalant in your everyday life. It can't happen now. You must be alert. You must be ready. Listen, your job and your purpose in the morning is not to go out and entertain yourself every single day. Your job and your purpose is to get up to do the will of God. Just because it's your day off doesn't mean it's your day to play. It's your day to serve. Does everybody understand? There is an urgency right now. It's the pleading of the Lord going out in a mighty way. Is everybody okay? Grab your swords. Turn to Psalm something. Better make it 81. Psalm 81. Psalm 81. It's just a simple expression from God's heart tonight. And the divine pleading of God to his children. And Psalm 81, I'll start at verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, of course, we know the word Egypt here means world. I've brought you out of the world. Open your mouth wide and I will what? Fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. If they just did what? Listen to him and walk in his ways. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. In other words, those false Christians will be exposed. They pretend that they love the Lord, but they actually don't. In other words, we must be willing to do whatever it takes to serve. The pretenders. You know, there's these attorneys assigned to inmates at the jails. I call them public pretenders. They call them something. Anyways, they're attorneys. I call them public pretenders because most of them don't really care about you. They're just there to do time to get qualified till they can open up their own practice. And then they charge you money. Hello. It says the haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. And let me tell you, it's happening right now. It's being exposed. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. That means the word. He would have fed us with the finest of wheat. He's talking about the word. And with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. That is the Spirit. So I want to share a couple quick things here. And he's talking about, listen, he brought us out of the world to bless us with his good things. He said, just listen to me and obey me. Submit to me. Be ready. He said he'd subdue our enemies, right? He'd expose the false believer in your life. He would feed us with wheat. In other words, that's the word, give you fresh rhema. Fresh rhema. And you would overflow with his presence through his Spirit. Why would he do that? He said, just listen to me. If you'll just listen to me. There's a purpose why he wants to overflow you and give you fresh rhema. And not only bless you, because there's things that he wants us to do, isn't there? So there's a pleading from God to do his will. Go to Psalm 82 while we're here. Start at verse 1. It says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He says, he judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? This is what he wants us to do. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the what? Hand of the wicked. This is what he's asking me to do, you to do. It says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all things. What did he say to do? Defend the poor, the fatherless, judge righteously, rescue the poor and the needy from the hand of the wicked. What he's saying is, my people don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. That's why he's pleading with them. Get in position. Learn. Fight. Stay in fellowship. Come out of the world. Be ready in season and out. There is a pleading and urgency from God Almighty. Quit trying to fix your stuff. People are spending more time trying to fix their lives instead of serving God who can fix their life without having to touch their hands in it. He's saying, my people don't know who they are. And that's one of Satan's ploys. I talked to a group of men today. It was very powerful. And one of the things they didn't know about was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, they didn't know. They just, and they're babies in Christ and so forth. But it was just like a fresh river that was flowing when we were there, just talking about whatever. I mean, these guys were just they were older men. Some of them retired, but just wanting more of God now. You know, the Bible tells us that He's calling all men from everywhere. It doesn't matter. But they were just hungry and thirsty for God. But there are things that they didn't know. So we've got to go out and tell them that. Because without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, people are going to be deceived. They're going to still go back in bondage. They're going to walk in those same old cycles. They won't go out and cast out a devil. They won't lay hands on somebody who's bleeding to death. It's our responsibility. There is accountability to be alive at this time right now in this generation and in this country. Great accountability. But God, the Lord told me, He says, my people don't know who they are. They're still under the clone of the dark one of this world. They're still trying to be like the world to please men and not willing to come out from the world to please Him. They still believe that success is the ultimate goal. One of the worst things that we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Amen? But He said if they knew who they were, go to 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Read it with me, please. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise God. He needs to be in Christ. He needs to be in the anointing. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So we have the ministry of reconciliation, but there ain't too many out there reconciling. Too busy trying to fight for their own life. Because they don't know who they are. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were what? Pleading through us. He is what? Pleading through us. I'm telling you, there's a divine pleading right now from the throne room of God to rescue His children. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He is pleading with us to reconcile. There is an urgency. Time is running out. Go to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. You know, you can feel that sense of an urgency within you. You know it. There's something that you know that's like, man. You know. And it's not a push. It's a lead. There's an urgency within us to do the right thing, to be ready. Because many souls are being lost. Not only many are being found, but many are being lost. Ezekiel 33 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the what? Sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood should be on his own head. Everyone say, I'm a watchman. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood should be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. You shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Do you understand it? This is why there's an urgency and a pleading. There's a divine pleading from God to listen. He will speak to you to warn somebody. Don't let fear interfere with you. Who cares? We're not out to please men. We're out to rescue souls. If the Lord tells you to tell somebody, look at brother, you got a demon and you need some help, do it. I was in jail today ministering. And one of the things that happened was some of them got up to worship and some of them didn't. First of all, I told them all that the reason why they were in jail is because they were deceived and come in agreement with the voice of the devil. They all agreed to that. So we praised and worshiped, so only half of them stood up to worship, the other half sat. I said, you guys that sat, you got deceived again. They looked at me like, what? I said, well, who told you to sit there and not get in God's presence? Who told you, come on, you're willing to fight for the dope, the woman, the money, but you're not willing to fight for the presence of God? You're deceived, and you're an idiot. It's time to stop allowing the devil to push you around, and it's time for you to push the devil out. So I told them they needed to do deliverance prayers and share with them. Well, every one of them got up afterwards and got deliverance prayers. They were tired of being deceived. I kept telling them they're buying timeshare in Orange County Jail. One guy said, well, yeah, I'm going to Seminole County. I said, praise God, you got timeshare over there too? He goes, yeah. Satan's greatest weapon is deception. One of the things he doesn't want you to know is who you are. And it's amazing how money will change a person's attitude. They'll be happy, but you know what they're happy about? Having money, and they just step in the world of the puddle of dirt. See, their fulfillment now comes from money instead of from his presence. That's deception. Let me tell you, you want to get a demon attached to you quickly? Love money more than you love God. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Say, I'm a watchman. Yeah. Go to verse 9. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Therefore, you son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So God doesn't want the wicked to die, does he? Well, if he don't want them to die, either should you. You know, we've got to stop this arena where, well, that person is just whatever, you know. You better warn that person. Then you can say that person's whatever. First warn them. Then you can call him an idiot if he's not willing to do whatever. Go to Jeremiah 27. Jeremiah 27. Divine pleadings from God. Start at verse 1. Jeremiah 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. And send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, and the king of the Ammonites, and the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem, to Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and my outstretched arm, and have given it to him whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field I have also given him to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the time of his land comes. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and which will not put its yoke under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with three things: the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, and your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out, and I will punish you. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying what we're to be is not yoked to the king of the world, but we're to be yoked to the king of glory. Nebuchadnezzar here represents Christ. Do you understand that? He's saying if you're yoked to the world, these things are going to happen to you. It's the sword. The what? Famine. And the pestilence. And there are specific meanings for the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. They're warning all men to come under the yoke of Christ. Because God is releasing. How many of y'all know God creates all things? How many of y'all know he can release darkness? He can release demonic forces anytime he wants. Y'all get it? Well, it's happening right now. What do you think is going to happen in Revelation time? We are under right now, the Bible says that the house of God is being judged. Get judged now before he comes, because it's too late. But he is on his way. He's on his way. It's happening. The Bible tells us, first of all, the Lord is going to come through the Spirit, which is his body. That's why the body of Christ will be judged first, because he's coming through the body before he personally comes. And he's coming through the body right now. It's happening. He said three things are going to happen if you're yoked according to the world. The Bible tells us that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're his enemy. He's not yours. And this yoke that the world puts upon us is a heavy bondage. And he said these three are going to happen: sword, the famine, and pestilence. And I'm going to share with you what the sword is, because this country has come under the yoke of the world and release the yoke of God. You know, for how much this country has sold into the Spirit, because all of the missionaries and everything that's gone out from this country, that's what's still keeping this country alive. But there's a level now coming where what she has sowed is coming to an end. And she'll have to reap. But before she reaps, the body of Christ will be removed. Hello? The sword, the famine, and the pestilence. I want you to just begin to look at this, because it's here right now and it's going to increase. The sword represents disasters. Anybody seen any weather disasters in the United States? Invasions or attacks. How about 9/11? That was supposed to be a wake-up call. It's amazing and how the World Trade Center, where the money is exchanged globally, gets smashed down to nothing. Violence. The sword. Violence. Look at how much violence there is right now. More gangs and killings and so forth than before. What about terrorism? Anger and hatred. Even prejudice is increasing now. People are becoming more prejudiced in the world because these spirits are being released. Because it's the sword that's being released. Famine. Famine represents lack. Is this country lacking right now? Yeah. Drought. Economic lack. Look at that. We had the problem with the fuel. You know? Electric power. They don't even know how we're going to sustain. Food, water. What is it? And it also produces depression, doesn't it? So we see a famine as a representation of lack, and we are in lack right now. Pestilence. Pestilence, sickness or disease. Something that's contagious. Contaminant. What about AIDS? What about obesity? Obesity in this country. Addiction. Look at the addiction in this country. Suicide, death, all of these things are associated with pestilence. So we already see that it's happening right now, and it's going to increase the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. Only to those who are yoked according to the world. That's why God is pleading through us to get individuals unyoked. To get them what? Unyoked. Oh, yes. Go to Matthew 11. And you know, it's pretty wild because eventually God begins to really take his word and his seed and really stirs individuals up sometimes, you know. And we see it in especially in the jail, because we go in there and we preach and whatever, and we preach a hard thing, man. We preach the truth. And to some people, it's a hard thing. I've seen guys that were in back of the room want to leave the room, but they couldn't. Nice thing about jail, they got a captive audience. You can't walk out on the preaching. You could have to, and you know what? I just got to tell them, you're in here now. I always tell them, you're in this room. You know why you're in this room now? You're accountable. So you can plug your ears. You can sit underneath your table or your chair. You don't have to read the word. You don't have to do anything. But I'm going to tell you what, you're going to be accountable for every word that comes out of a preacher's mouth. No matter what, you can't outrun it. So you better learn or you're going to burn. But it's pretty wild because after enough times, you see guys that were in the back of rooms now start to move to the front. Dudes that were speaking against you and trying to get you thrown out and lie about you and all kinds of stuff, now they fill out an application, want to come in the program. You know why? Because truth is exposing the enemy. And the conviction, because we're the offsprings of God Almighty, because within we know that there's something, there's an urgency that God wants to do something. It's like you get to a point where you can't fight it no more. You got to either surrender it or die. I give up. What do you want me to do? I can't take this any longer. I love that song. Can't take it anymore. Take it all. You know, especially the ones who are getting ready to go out and meet their girlfriends. I love those. Yeah. Yeah, my clothes are at her house. Yeah, cool. Man. Burn it. Not the house, the clothes. You go there, you'll die. What? No, get out of here. You go there, you'll die. What do you mean? Let it go, man, and go forward. I thought you wanted a new life. See, that's one thing the Lord asks us every day. Do you want a new life? Every day I want a new life. I want a new life every single day. That's the beauty of being a believer. You get a new life every day. Praise God. Tomorrow, there's a new life waiting for me tomorrow when I wake up. Hallelujah. It's waiting for me. Here I am. Oh, here he goes again. The Lord says, that's my son. Hallelujah. In Matthew 11 and verse 27, all things have been delivered to me, says the Lord, by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Yeah. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. See, but the devil's yoke and burden is heavy. He's a taskmaster. He's a slave driver. But Jesus' yoke is easy. Does everybody understand that? That's why the Bible says, do not be unevenly yoked. With what? The things of the world. What's a temple of God to be yoked with a temple of a demon? What's a believer to be yoked with an unbeliever? He's telling us not to be unevenly yoked. The Bible tells us you can't serve two masters, right? You can either serve God or money. Now, if you serve God, money will serve you. Does everybody get it? Doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. But eventually it will serve you. If you're in position. Go to John 10. In verse 7. John 10:7. Then Jesus said to them again, and most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So if you heard them, are you a sheep? No, you're a goat. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. Now, I want to share with you about the steal, kill, and the destroy, because the steal is associated with the sword. The kill is associated with the famine. And the destroy is associated with the pestilence. Why? Because God releases darkness to do his work. Everybody okay? And what's he going to steal? Your freedom and replace it with bondage. He'll steal your freedom and replace it with bondage. And it will be the bondage of fear. It brings bondage, doesn't it? If you let the devil do it, right? If you're yoked with the world. They will lose, and you can see this all over, people lose the fear of God. And by losing the fear of God, they really have no fear of the punishment that will come to them. They can't even see that far. They don't even fear killing. So the devil will come to steal your freedom and replace it with bondage. He will come to kill your prosperity and replace it with poverty. He will kill your faith and hope and replace it with despair and oppression if you're yoked to the world. He will also come to destroy. Destroy means to wipe out, eliminate, come to your end. He'll destroy life and replace it with death. The sword, the famine, and the pestilence. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Has everybody got it? Everybody okay? Matthew 22. God is pleading with his children. Matthew 22. Verse 2. And the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle are killed, and all the things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. It's called nonchalant. They made light of it. and went their ways, and one to his own farm, one to his own business, one to his own house, one to his own bank. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, as many as you find, and invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. And the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So we are the servants that are going out to the byways and highways. For many have rejected the invitation of God. Many have rejected the invitation of God. Or many have accepted the invitation of God, but then got entangled and yoked with the world and walked away from the invitation and became unworthy of the wedding. It's happening now, right now, big time. For many are called, but few are chosen. In other words, many are invited, but few are chosen because they're not willing to be faithful. Acts 17. You're going to be ready to go out and kick butt, knock doors down? I'm telling you what. Acts 17, verse 29. Acts 17:29. "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this all by raising him from the dead." So we know here that ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. You can justify all you want, it ain't going to work. It's time. Go to Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. Our famous scripture here. I don't know it by heart. What's it say? Hosea 4:6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." That's why there's the divine pleading. Why? Because God is watching his own people be destroyed. The devil has come to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Why? Because the sword has been released. The famine has been released and the pestilence has been released. Because of the yoking that has happened. But thank God we're yoked to Jesus. And if we're under Jesus, it ain't going to come to us. But if you're yoked to the world, coming to you. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you rejected the knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me." That's the first office that everyone must fill, priesthood. "And because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." In other words, if you're yoked to the world, your children will go astray. See, you can't just serve God part-time. This is not a part-time operation. This is a full-time operation. "Well, I got a job." That's why you serve them at your job. You don't labor unto the world. You labor unto the Lord. You stay yoked to Christ and unyoked to the world. You don't get caught up in the stuff. When somebody chooses to say a bad joke, a dirty joke, you walk away. You don't agree with it. When somebody decides to cuss and do things, you don't agree with it. You know, sometimes you got to just be a little bit bold, but it's got to be led by the Lord. He said, "He'll speak to you and you're to warn." You know, Paul told us, he said, "Man, you know, speak to them gently. And then if that don't work, do something drastically." And sometimes it has to become drastically. You know, it's real simple. You're going to hell. Not fulfilling the call. See, the divine pleading right now from God is he's pleading with his children to fulfill their call. If you're fulfilling the call, you won't be yoked to the world. You'll be yoked to the King. The divine pleading is to for me and you to fulfill the call in our life that he's called for us. He's predestined for us and prepared. Our households will be destroyed if we're not willing to fulfill the call. Well, that's heavy. That's right. That's called responsibility. That's called accountability. There is a commission that God has established. You didn't just get rescued to sit in the church and get goosebumps. Hello. You didn't get rescued just to go after God to receive all the blessings from him. You got rescued from hell to serve him joyfully. In the reality that everything you own, you don't own nothing. What you thought you owned isn't yours. We don't own anything. We didn't earn anything. The Bible says that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. It's his righteousness. Everything has to do with him. That's why so many people get in trouble, because they're still fighting for their life. I have a simple word for you. Die. It's a three-letter, most powerful word. It's called die to yourself. If you're still fighting for your life, you are yoked to the world. And the devil will have access to you to steal, kill, and destroy. And the sword, the famine, and the pestilence will eventually destroy you and your family if you allow it. Do you understand? I'm telling you, there is an urgency from the throne room of God. He's pleading with us to fulfill the call. Go to 1 Timothy 2. Come on, do you sense the urgency? Man, there's an urgency. There are family members that you need to tell about Jesus and quit worrying about what they're going to think of you. Come on, you should get real. You know what they think of you already? So what's that going to matter? God, if you really knew what they thought of you already, what does it matter? Just go out and tell them. No, here comes one of those Jesus kids. You know, you remember when we got saved, our family was still waiting for us to fall. I'm telling you, I got some relatives that have been waiting 15 years for me to fall. In verse 1, would you read it? Therefore, I exhort first of all the supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's his desire, right? He's talking about intercession. You know, quit praying for yourself so much, man. You know, most people spend hours praying for themselves. Oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, do that. Oh, me. You know, me. Instead of intercession. I'm not saying don't pray for yourself, because you need to get dressed and delivered every morning. You need to get emptied every morning, so you can get filled with God, get dressed, go out, do your warfare. But you're warfaring. You're not warfaring just yourself. You're warfaring for others. You know, some people take more time making breakfast than they do praying in the morning. They feed the flesh before they even pray. What you sow is what you reap. Now they make them big breakfast. Yeah, let me eat first and I'll go pray, man. Go pray first, then feed your flesh. Hello? At least you can say you fasted and prayed. Then you eat afterwards, all right? Go to 2 Timothy 2. In verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women who are able to teach or willing to be trained. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in a warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." That's divine requirements. "The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." So we are soldiers. We are ambassadors. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We're not to touch unclean things. We're to be separate from the world, so that we're yoked to Christ and not according to the world. 1 Thessalonians 5. Is everybody there in verse 12? Let's read it. "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always." In other words, don't be miserable. And don't blame somebody else for your miserability. You choose it. "Well, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed." No, you just shook hands with a demon that morning. And you chose to be miserable instead of cast them out. You said, "Okay, I'll just be miserable today. I've got something to complain about." "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." In other words, communicate with God all day long. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And don't quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophecy, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. And verse 21. 23, 21. He said, I did not send my prophets, yet they ran. Because they weren't listening, were they? I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Ooh. But if they had stood in my what? Counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Let me tell you, a lot of people like to prophesy in other people's lives, but are not willing to expose their sin. We're accountable. You want to prophesy in somebody's life? Tell me you got a word from the Lord? Repent. Hello? Expose the sin first. Then tell them what God can do after they've come to repentance. Don't tell them what God's going to do if they ain't come to repentance. I get many people tell me, "Oh man, the Lord told me this, this, and that." And it's good. What you still serving the devil for? "Oh, this is spoken over my life." People, I'm telling you, people are still chasing their prophecies from years and years ago. But they're out serving the devil thinking it's going to come to pass. Wrong. In Isaiah 58. Where's the counsel going to come from? From you to warn them. Isaiah 58. And verse 1, would you read it with me, please? "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a what?"
Yeah, man.
"Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression. In the house of Jacob, their what? Sins." In other words, say it. Expose it. I'm not telling you to go around and condemning everybody. You know, if you don't, you know, it's, you got to be led by the Lord. But I'm telling you, God's going to lead you more if you're listening more. He'll speak to you and you obey. Isaiah 66, why we're here. Isaiah 66, look at this, verse 4, read this. Ooh. So I will choose their what? Delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. So what's going to happen? Delusions are going to come. You're not going to be able to see clearly. Does everybody get it? The sword, the famine, and the pestilence. Steal, kill, and destroy. By being yoked according to the world. Let's close at Joshua 24. Is fear hitting everywhere right now? Do you understand? Because he had called and it did not answer. So what's happening? Fear is engulfing this world. People are in delusion all over the place. This is not just this country, it's global. Joshua 24. In verse 14, is everybody there? Make no place for the devil. Would you read it? Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yeah. Serve him in gladness. It's the pleading of the Lord pleading with you to fulfill your call. The sword, the famine, and the pestilence have been released. Things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. But for me and you, they'll get better. As long as you're in position and you're not yoked with the world. Do not be unevenly yoked. And then you'll shut the door to the devil who will try to come and steal, kill, and destroy. Remember, we are called to be watchmen. There's accountability and responsibility. If you're in this house, you're accountable. You can't escape. Well, I didn't take any notes. Too bad. You're accountable. Everybody say, I'm accountable. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed, and we hear your cry. We hear your pleading, Lord, for your children to get in position. We hear your pleading for us to fulfill our calling. I pray tonight, Lord, that those who are out of order, that you'll convict them to get in order. And that those who are in order, that you'll continue to visit them and strengthen them and empower them with revelation and understanding. Because you said that you would give us the finest of wheat. And you give us the finest from the rock, fresh oil and fresh anointing. And I pray that over all those who are walking according to your will in this house. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand.